Ready? All right. Praise God. All right. Got me? All right. Praise God. That was my heart beating. It's a little strange. So, that was a rhythm. And so, I'll answer your phone for you. No, huh? Picking at you. Praise God. I'm going to be picking up on a sermon that I started last week. Actually, the Lord's been working on us since we've had a church, right? Ever since we started gathering together, we've known that Jesus Christ is a solid foundation. Amen. He is the rock on which the whole building of God is made. And we know through Peter that we are those living stones, right? We are the church that Jesus said He was going to build. And He said, in this church, through this church, that the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Ain't that good news? There is nothing that that Satan or any of his demons can throw at me that's going to knock me off of where I'm at. Amen. I am in Christ Jesus, and I'm walking with Him. I love Him. I love His Word. I love His Word more than I love you guys, and I love you guys a lot. I love God's Word more than I love my wife, and I love my wife a lot. I love God's Word more than I like my kids, and I like my kids a lot. Notice the difference there? You know, so it's God's Word that's first and foremost in my life. It's His ways and not my ways. And that's how I know that I'm right with Him, is that He has put a love in me that is greater than anything that this world's hate can throw at me. Amen. I am in Him and He is in me. And so just to recap a little bit from last week, we started talking about commitment pillars of Christianity. And in that, we learned that last week, there's a basic structure of the ecclesia, of the church, E-K-K-L-I-S-I-A, ecclesia. All right, and that is the foundation, or the foundation is Christ Jesus. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And I'm going to start in verse 11 and work my way back up to 10, because I like it that way better. For no other foundation can no man lay than which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Amen? So he starts out that this is the foundation, folks. It is Christ Jesus. There's no other foundation that the church can be built on. It is Christ Jesus. He says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder. I like that. Paul said he knows how to build stuff. Amen. He knows how to build stuff. Why? Because he had the right foundation in his personal life. How did he know how to build what God had started? He said, I got a foundation in Jesus Christ. That makes me a wise builder. I know the scripture. I know what God expects out of me. And because I know what he expects out of me, I can help everybody else to become everything that God expects out of them. Amen. And so he says, I am that wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another man builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Amen? So look at what Paul is saying here. You need to take heed how you're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Right? I need to take heed how I build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is that foundation. We learn that from Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, where Peter had confessed to Jesus that thou art the Christ. In verse 18, Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, Peter. This ain't how you got it, but it came from the Father. The Father showed you this through the power, and that this is the structure, the church, that I will build. Amen. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we understand that there's a church, right? And we understand that there's a foundation. There is an ecclesia, and then there is the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Jesus also talked in another place of the scripture that you as a human, as being smart, intelligent, if you know how to build something, you dig down to a solid foundation, right? You don't want to build out on shifting sand because you know there's storms in life that are coming. Right? If you're not in a storm, there's one coming. And if you're in the middle of a storm and you're built on Jesus Christ, there's no storm that hell can throw at you that can knock you off of that foundation. You need to make sure how you build on that foundation. And those are what I call commitment pillars. What connects me good to the foundation of Jesus Christ? Now, He has me, all right? Right. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He says, all right, I love you, Curtis. You're mine. Now that work is done. That was finished on the cross. He paid for my sin debt. All right. Now, because I am a Christian, I need to have ways that keep me right with Jesus Christ. Who here owns a house? or rents a house. All right, do you got to do work on that house? Every day, you got to do something. Plumbing's leaking, roof's leaking, you got to paint it, you got to do this, you got to do the other. If you don't do any of the work in your house, what happens to it? Falls down. Falls down. It cannot stand. So we need to have pillars, all right, that come from where I am to the solid rock of Jesus Christ that's able to withstand the storms of life. All right, those pillars is what we're going to be talking about. So everybody get in my mind, as I said last week, to me a pillar is something that's at the end of my bed and I go to sleep on. Well, it's almost the same thing. This is where I find my rest. This is where I find my comfort. This is where I find who I am in Christ Jesus because of the pillars that He set out for me. And I want you to know right start with, this was not my original idea. This is not my idea. I got this from reading other godly books, okay? And this ideal came from a book that I'm reading by Francis Chan. And the book is Letters to the Church, okay? It's letters that he's writing to the church, where the church is and how we need to make adjustments. This particular thing about commitment pillars came from a pastor in China. Okay, he is a pastor in China. He said, the reason that the American church, the things that are going on in our political world are actually spiritually motivated. Okay, and the reason that they're spiritually motivated and it's so bad, because the church of America has been asleep way too long. We've forgotten about our pillars. All right, we forgot about the very structure that holds us together as a body. Right? That structure, what holds us there? What makes me love Alan and Alan love me and Cliff and Joshua and Bonnie and all of you guys? What makes us stick together? It is Jesus the Christ. Amen? And we need to remember that in such a way that I am committed unto Him and I have pillars in my life that I go back to continually that keep me firmly bounded on Him, that keep me firmly attached to Him. Now, He loves me, right? I'm not saying that changes, but I'm saying because He loves me, I want to make sure I'm doing right by Him. I want to make sure that this vessel that's before you, this person right here, is always firmly connected to Jesus Christ. And that means I need to do some things in my life. And so last week, I had a rough sketch. This week, I cleaned up the lines, okay? So... all right, last week is all just kind of different, is all over the place. This week it's not nearly as all over the place as what it was last week. All right, from 1 Peter 2, 5, and 6, he calls us living stones. That's what 1 Peter, let me get my Bible out. I ought to just bring down my notes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Ye also are living stones. You're built up a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. Did you see what Peter said here? This is who you are if you're born again in Jesus Christ. Ye are the living stones. You are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood too. Now that word too means in order to. All right? You are built up as a spiritual priesthood in order to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Did you see what he says? All right, I'm a living stone. All right, this is who I am. My papa was a rolling stone, right? Anyhow, I'm a living stone. This is you, me, and them. We are living stones. We're living, breathing stones. All these other people, these are just other Christians. These are the peoples. And it's called the ecclesia. And ecclesia means called out. We're called out from the world. We're called out of darkness into His marvelous light. That is salvation, right? That's understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. He called us from one spot and made us something different. He met me in the goo that was me, and He changed me into the light that I will be someday. Someday this corruption's going to put it off. Amen. This corruptible flesh will put on incorruptibility. Ah, praise God. I can't wait for that day. I got to die for it. But I'm dying every day, all right? But it's coming, right? And so that is the ecclesia. That's also on our money called E Pluribus Unum. Do you know what E Pluribus Unum means? Out of many, one. Isn't that what Jesus did for His church? Out of many, He made one person. Out of many, He made one. Out of the whole world, He's calling us to be made, formed into the image of the Most High God, into the image of His own Son. Right? So So the ecclesia is out of many people made into one person, one building. And we are these living stones that is supposed to be making spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So how am I able to make acceptable sacrifices to God? By Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not that hard. All right? If I'm going to make a sacrifice unto the Lord that's acceptable to the Lord, who do I got to go through? Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6. Favorite scripture. What is it? Amen. Say it loud. Through me. Amen. Did you see what he said? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's no man that goes to the Father except by me or through me. There's no way to get to the right relationship with God except through Jesus Christ. And Jesus says that we are his living stones. And he's building us a household to make us a house. And he says in verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 2, wherefore, also, he contained in the Scripture. I like that. Everything you need to know is in the Scripture. Amen. I contained it. I put it in a book for you. All you got to do is read it. All you got to do is read it and believe it and apply it to your life. It's the book of life. All right. And it's contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Amen. Elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Who's tired of being a fool? If you're a fool, that means you ain't studying the Word of God. Only a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You want to find somebody truly ignorant? Find you an atheist. I don't care how many PhDs, FBIs, QSBQs, or whatever they got in front of their name. You can lay up a whole alphabet. If they don't believe in God, that Jesus is the born Savior of the world, they're an idiot. I don't care how smart they think they are. I don't know. If they know where all the silent letters are hid, and they don't know Jesus, they're an idiot. They're a fool. The Scripture says so. All right? And I ain't real smart, but I know that. Jesus said, Peter said that we're supposed to make spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord, that are unto God, that are acceptable. That are acceptable. Do you know that you can make a sacrifice unto the Lord that ain't acceptable? If you were here in Sunday school, you would have known it, because we talked about that this morning. Saul made a sacrifice unto the Lord. He wasn't supposed to. It was unacceptable before the Lord. And because he made a sacrifice unto the Lord that was not acceptable unto the Lord, guess what he did? God said, I have taken your kingdom out away from you. I've taken your kingdom from you because you didn't make the right sacrifice. You made a sacrifice, sure, but it wasn't the right one. So there are sacrifices that we can make unto the Lord that God does not honor. Do you understand that? God told me to leave her because we're not happy. That is not a sacrifice that's acceptable unto the Lord, because God hates divorce. Amen? So you can't say that God told me to leave her or to leave him. That's not true. God told me to do this or to do that. And if it doesn't line up with Scripture, that is not an acceptable sacrifice to God. Right? So here are some things that are acceptable unto the Lord. These are pillars. Do you know that prayer is a huge thing that God asks us to do in the Scripture? Do you understand? How often do you pray? Every time I eat. Well, that just makes your food taste better. How often do you pray? I mean, really and truly, how often do you get alone with God, fall on your face, prostrate before the Lord, confess your sin, and pour your heart out before God? Often enough, probably not. I don't do it enough, and I do it a lot. When Jesus had problems in his life, where did he go? He went to the very throne room of grace. He said, I need to separate. Hey, boys, I love you, my disciples, I love you, but I got to separate from you right now. I got to go to a desert place. I got to go alone that me and the Father can communicate. Every once in a while, he brought some of his disciples with him. He brought Peter and John and James with him to the Mount of Transfiguration. All the rest of the disciples stayed back somewhere, but he brought those three with him and said, here, I want to show you something that's great. And he transformed himself into the light that he really is. It says that the light started beaming out of Jesus. But he went to be alone with the Father. He went to be alone and to talk about the things that would be coming up. Because God loves y'all so much. He loves you so much that He desires to have that deep personal relationship. Out of that, you know, the only thing that really that the disciples ask about Jesus, they didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, how did you heal the blind man?" Didn't ask that. "Hey, Jesus, how did you heal that leper?" They didn't ask that. The one thing that they did ask is say, "Hey, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach me how to pray. Teach Jesus, you got a sweet prayer life, man. You reach to the Father hears you. I want that. I want that relationship. So teach me how to pray." Something that I use is ACTS, A-C-T-S. Adoration, you praise the. When I come to the Lord in prayer, I start admiring Him because He is God and I am not. Amen. He is the answer to my problem. He's the solution to whatever is messing me up. And I ask, and I give Him all the grace and glory. And then I confess, C, A-C, confession. "Lord, I am a sinner. I don't have any legal standing to come before You. But thank You, Lord God, because You are faithful and just to forgive me my sin, that You are able to bring me into a right relationship with You. Praise You, Lord God. Thank You so much for that." Then comes thanks. "Thank You, Lord God, I woke up this morning. Thank You, Lord God, I got food in my belly. Thank You, Lord God, that I have a wife that loves me, that You give me the opportunity to preach Your word. Thank You, Lord God, for that." And then comes the supplication, ACTS, A-C-T-S. Supplication means, "God, I need help. I need help. This storm is more than I can bear. I need help. I cannot do this alone. Help me, Lord God. Help me, Father. I have problems in my life. I got a sin I need to get over. I got unforgiveness in me, and I need relief." Amen. And that's supplication, and God meets you there. This is a prayer life. I got Psalms 145, verses 18 and 19, Jeremiah 29 and 12 written on here. I'll just jump to 29 and 12 real quick. Psalm 145, read the whole thing. I only got a couple verses there, but read Psalms. You want to hear great prayers, you want to know how to pray, read the book of Psalms, man. It'll enlighten you. But anyhow, in Jeremiah 29 and 12, "Then shall ye call upon me." Now, Jesus is talking about, he was talking to Jeremiah about the people coming out of bondage, all right? Coming out of bondage and into the promised land. Coming out of the darkness and into the light, all right? Being born again. The newness of life is happening to them. "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Wow. Oh, there comes a time in my life that I can bring it to Jesus and He will hear me. I will hearken unto what You have. I will hearken unto You. In verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Man, do you want to get closer to Jesus? Look for Him. Open up your eyes. You really want to get close to God? You snuggle up to Him. It tells us in James that if I draw nigh unto the Lord, He will draw nigh unto me. Well, I tell you, there's no greater joy than finding yourself in prayer in the very presence of God. Have you ever been there? I mean, really, saint, have you ever been there? You've been praying, and then all of a sudden, bam, Jesus is there. I mean, it just, oh, this presence, this light, this enormity of emotions comes over you. I'm not saying ride an emotional high, but you know when Jesus is in the room. Amen. You know when He's in the room. And so you're getting in that prayer life, right? And another thing that we need, this is pillar one. I think prayer is one of the most important things that a born-again house of the living Lord ought to have as a part of His corner of His life. All right, is a good, steady prayer life. All right, the next is study. Do you think it's important to study the Word of God? How am I not going to be fooled by the world? By studying the Word of God. How am I not going to be worried about the things that's going on in the political realm in America today? Because I know through the studying of the Word of God that this ain't my home. Amen. When Jesus was standing before Pilate and He was about ready to be crucified, and Pilate asked Him, said, Hey, Jesus, are you a king? Is this a kingdom?" He says, "My kingdom ain't here. My kingdom is not, yeah, am I a king? Absolutely. I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I'm Him, but this ain't it. This kingdom on this earth is not it. So I'm not really concerned about the government of this world. I'm not concerned about America all that much. I'm not concerned about this garbage I see on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Facebook, Twitter, none of that stuff. I don't care about any of that because my kingdom is in heaven. My kingdom was with Jesus Christ. My kingdom has nothing to do with this stupid world that we live in. Okay, there's nothing here worth worrying about. Guess what? All of you are going to die. Every politician is going to die. It happens. If you're born, guess what? You'll live a life and you're going to die. And then comes eternity. And if you were worried about who was president, who was vice president, who was congressman or senator or judge or whatever, and you were all consumed about that and you missed time praying and studying the Word of God, you have missed the greater part. You're all worried about this garbage of a world that we live in, right? That 2 Peter tells us that it's going to burn with a fervent heat anyhow. You're living in a bonfire that hasn't been lit, all right? Because it is going to burn, right? It's going to burn. So don't worry about this world. You worried about your relationship with Jesus Christ. You worry about the solid rock because you are the people of God. Amen. That's where your focus needs to be. Right? Yeah. So what? So what? So what? Communism takes over America and the church gets persecuted for it. Would that really hurt? Sure, it'll hurt you physically. But look at the church around the world that's persecuted. Look at the church in China. It's persecuted. It's exploding on the scene. You look at the church in the Middle East, right? The born-again Christians in the Middle East that are having their churches burned, their houses are ransacked. People are dying for the gospel. But the numbers, people are coming to the Lord by the thousands. You look in America, we're fat and lazy. We have 20 people in the church today. 20 people, right? We're in America. You have air conditioning, electricity, and comfortable seats. When I was in Kenya preaching the gospel, we had 150 men and half of this space right here sitting in plastic chairs with no air conditioning. 110 degrees. Do you understand? They're persecuted, but they love the Lord because they study their word. They know that this world is not anything to be over-concerned about. They need Jesus Christ. We don't need Jesus Christ in our life, right? Now, I do, and I hope that you do, but the majority of Americans, they don't think they do. I got two cars. I got a mortgage. I got a riding lawnmower. I got cable TV. I got my computer. I got my all that garbage that we waste our times in. We got all that stuff, but we don't study the Word of God to know where real wealth comes from, where our real foundation is supposed to be held in. All worried about all this mess. I hope America does burn. You know what? I think, and this sounds crazy, and y'all probably going to hate me for it, but go ahead, hate me. I would love a nation somewhere around the world to send up a nuclear weapon about 3 miles above America and explode it. And an EMP happen, right? And all computers black out. No Facebook, no Twitter, no cable news. And all we have is one another and Jesus Christ to lean into. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, there'll be a lot of carnage. A lot of folks will die. A lot of folks who don't know the Lord will go to hell. A lot of folks who don't know the Lord will go to heaven. All right? But you're going to die anyhow. You know, nobody gets out of this alive, right? Really? Do you believe that? That everyone's going to die? So why don't you study the Word of God and pray and set your foundation, set your pillars on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? I got 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, 2 Timothy 2:15, and Psalm 119, 11 through 11 and 12. Look them up yourself because we're running out of time. I could speak for an hour on each of these, all right, because these are important things for the Christian life. This needs to be a conduit to the solid rock of Jesus Christ in your life. It needs to be something that you're founded in, that you believe more than any of the garbage you're seeing on I don't know, media. How about witnessing? How important is it to witness? How many folks do you tell every week about Jesus Christ? And do you tell it with a fire in your heart? Or do you say, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to this church and I go to that church. Ain't I a miserable cuss? Look at how angry I am. Look at how sad I am. Look at how concerned I am about Fox News. Look at all this garbage that I'm caught up in. You're supposed to be witnessing about the Most High God. You know, one that's above all of this stuff. It tells us in the Scripture there's going to come a day that God's going to roll the heavens up like a scroll. Wow, ain't that going to be something? You know, that He's going to take all the stars that you think, there's so millions and gazillions and huge galaxies out way beyond our understanding. God's going to say, roll it up like a carpet. Roll it up. Let me let them see what's real. Okay? I am God. And I loved them so much that I sent my only begotten Son to die on a cross for them, that they could know that I love them. For God so loved the world, right, that He gave His only begotten Son. Witnessing about that. You know, it tells us in the Revelation 12:11 that we beat Satan. We beat him by the testimony, by the gospel of Jesus Christ and our personal testimony. Our witnessing. You know that? You want to know something that gets Satan shaking in his boots, so scared he can't see anything? A saint of the Most High God start telling somebody else about the great love that they have experienced in a personal testimony through Jesus Christ. You want to have victory? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I sought Him and I bought, and He sought me and He bought me with His precious blood. Amen. I didn't seek Him. He sought me while I was lost. All right. He sought me. He looked me up. He said, Curtis, where are you? I know you're over there. Come out from behind that. Take that thick leaf off. I got some real covering for you. Let me cover you with my blood. Let me cover you with righteousness. Have you told anybody about the love of Jesus Christ with a passion in your heart lately? I mean, We're Christians. We're victory. We are the victory. If you're born again in Jesus Christ, you know what? You can see because you're no longer in the dark. You know those who are not saved, who really don't know? They're all groping around in the dark. They're trying to find light. They're looking for it. And what's that? I say this song a lot. I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. Right? I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for love. But it's in Christ Jesus. You won't find it in the bottle. You won't find it in the needle. You won't find it in your smokes. You won't find it in your neighbor. You won't find it in your wife. You won't find it in your children. You will only find what you need through the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Have you been telling somebody about that? Or are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'd love to tell you about Jesus, but I'm afraid I'll lose my job. I'd love to tell you about Jesus, but you probably won't like me anymore. You know? Praise God. Jesus said, if you stand with me, if you walk with me, know that the world's going to hate you because it hated me first. And I'm God. No, I'm not. But Jesus said He's God manifested in flesh. And the world, the ones who are not saved, hated Him. They hated Him. Church, you're supposed to be the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are supposed to be e pluribus unum, out of many one. We are supposed to be witnessing for the Most High God. Oh, but we're afraid. I can't come and worship because, I don't know, bicycle racing is on. I can't come and worship because I got to paint my toenails. I got to do something, anything else. And if you don't have a strong foundation in Jesus Christ, I'll tell you anything else will keep you from church. Anything else will keep you from witnessing. And you can put anything in that category you want to. I would love to witness for you, Jesus, but you know, I got to mow the lawn. I got to witness for you. And you can do something good. I need to witness for you, Jesus, but I'm going to go feed the neighbor's cats. I don't like cats, and my neighbors hate me. But anyhow, you know, if you knew where I live, you knew how true that is. But you see, We can do something good and still miss witnessing for Jesus Christ. Believe me, those cats will eat on their own. You die in a house full of cats, they will eat you. They don't care. They do not care, right? Are you committed to study? Are you committed to witnessing? Are you committed to love? Oh, man. We always say that, man. Oh, I love you, brother. I love you so much. I love you so much. Unless you're giving me something, I ain't going to come see you. But I love you. 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 But really, when you walk away, I'm going to talk about you like a dog. You know, I love you so much, I'm going to gossip about you. I love you so much, I'm just going to treat you bad. I love you so much that I'm not going to feed you. I'm not going to clothe you. I'm not going to pour my life into you. Folks, that's the way the world loves. Jesus said, I leave you real love. I leave you a love that's strong, that's personal. This is a commandment. It's not a high suggestion for Jesus Christ. A new commandment I give unto you. I believe that's John 13:37. A new commandment. Brand new, fresh out of the box. A new commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you love each other. That you, it's a commandment. I gotta love you. Amen. It's not that I want to. Some of you make my skin crawl. Amen. But I got to love you. Right? Amen? Y'all know that too? Right? There's some people that I don't want to love, but Jesus says, in the body of Christ, I've got to love you. Cliff, I don't like it, but I got to love you. I got to love you. You know, I got to love you. I got to love you. Right? And you know what's even worse? You got to love me. It's a commandment. It's not a high suggestion. And if you don't have these pillars, this pillar right here, this love, this witnessing, Bible study, how do I know that I got to love you if I don't study my Bible? If I don't study my Bible, I don't know that I got to love you. If I don't study my Bible, I can just come into the building once a week and say, well, I've done my Christian duty. You know, I got here, the floors were vacuumed, the coffee was on, all the good things were out, so I'm not needed here. I'm just going to kind of swish in and swish out. I don't have to love nobody. I don't got to pour my life into nobody else. I don't have to help you. Right? Well, that's the way the world loves. And Jesus says, you ain't supposed to love like the world loves. You are high called by the Most High God to pour your life into us. See, I don't come here for me, I come here for you. You don't come here for yourself. If you're just coming here for an hour a day just to suck, or an hour a week to suck the air out of this place, please leave. Leave. Because if you ain't born again, if you don't want to love us like we love you, I don't want you here. Because I want a church that is founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, that scares me when I said that. But if you don't want to be here, I don't want you here. If you're not born, if you don't want to love others the way that Christ loved you, please don't suck the air out of here. We need to be led by the high calling of Jesus Christ. We need to be founded on the gospel in this cornerstone that God loved you so much. He loved you so much. And oh, folks, if we cannot love each other, if we can't come together as a body, then please, Jesus, shut the doors. Shut the doors. Out of that book I'm reading, or I've read and I'm reading again. Out of that book, he talks about a young man who was in a gang. A shooter, bang, bang, bang. He was in a violent gang. And he said, the reason that I was in that gang is because I wanted to be part of people who loved me. And you know what? When he was in that gang, when the gang had a meeting, guess what? He was there. Because he wanted to be a part of it. Why can't we be a gang for Jesus Christ? Why can't we be a gang when the doors are open, we come together? Why can't we love each other like a Muslim loves another Muslim? Why can't we love like that? All right, why can't we have that kinetic gathering together the way that God has called us to be the building of Jesus Christ? Well, we put a barn together out here yesterday, right? We put this. Now imagine if the wood refused to be cut. I ain't cutting you. You ain't cutting me. If those screws refuse to be put in there, and they're put in there forever, Right? Those graves ain't coming back out. Right? What? And you're the building of Christ? You are living stone formed in the, supposed to be being formed into the image and the likeness of God, and you can't even stand being around one another? Please, if you can't do that, and like I said, leave. If there's only two of us that really love one another, I mean two of us that really, just a handful of us that really, really love one another, that's better than having 50 million people coming to this building that don't have that kinetic energy from Jesus Christ. That's building, instead of down here on the solid rock, they're building up on life's shifting sand. See, we're supposed to be deeper than that. We are the church. We're His body. We are His people. We are supposed to be part of Him. Paul put it this way to the church of Galatia. How can the foot say to the hand, I have no need of thee? How can the eye say to the ear, I have no need of thee? Right? How can you say, I can't be a part of you? See, Diane needs to come here because she strengthens Joshua. Jeff needs to come here because he strengthens me. Steve needs to come here because he strengthens somebody else. We don't come here to edify ourselves. We're supposed to come together in love to edify one another to meet the high calling of Christ. Right? People, if we can't get this right, there's a church right down the road. Okay? Church right down the road. Have at it. You know, have at it. I love you. I love you. I don't want to see any of you go. But if you can't love one another, if we can't walk in unity with Christ, if we can't pray together, you know how many times we've called for prayer? We're going to have a Sunday evening prayer meeting. And two people show up. Amen, sister, brother. Yeah, the ones who come know what I'm talking about. Right? Or coming to a Bible study. I mean, studying, open up the Word of God. Sunday school. What do you think we do in Sunday school? Well, we drink coffee and eat donuts. Well, that's true. Okay? That's part of it we do. But you know what else we do? We study. We start in Genesis and we work our way all the way through to Revelation. Then you know what we do after that? We start in Genesis and we work our way all the way through the Revelation. You know how we do it? Line by line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and we pull it all together for the edification of the body of Christ. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. I don't care that you think that I know a lot about the Bible. That doesn't. Satan is not scared of people who go to the Aquinas Club. Isn't that what it's called? Awana Club. Awana Club and memorize a lot of scripture. I went to Awana, I memorized 750 scriptures this year. Satan ain't scared of that. You have one saint that will pray, that will study and witness and love one another the way that Jesus said. Satan trembles. He trembles because he knows that the gates of hell will never prevail against a saint like that. I'm not saying that memorizing Scripture is bad, but if you memorize it and don't apply it, it don't do you no good. It's no good. Paul said, if I speak in tongues of angels and men and I give my body even to be burned and I don't have love, it's like a sounding cymbal. It's a tinkling in the breeze. You're a wind chime. Wind chimes are sweet to listen to, but they're pretty much worthless. Right? Unless you want to stay up all night listening to ding, ding, ding. I mean, they're cool to look at, right? I don't mind looking at them or listening to them, but they really don't play like a song. There's no melody there. It's just a bunch of sounding noise. So you can have all these things and you don't have love one for another, you're nothing. You're nothing. All right, next week. There's more to this. There's more to this. There's more to this. All right. Next week, I'm going to try not to recap everything I recapped this week. I try to squish it all together. But this is a lifestyle. Okay. This is not a week teaching or 2 week or 3 week. This is a lifestyle. A lifestyle of prayer, of studying your Bible, of witnessing, of loving one another. A lifestyle of service. Here's an idea. God doesn't need volunteers. You know that? Oh, I volunteer at the church. Big deal. He doesn't need your volunteer. You know what he looks for? A servant. I need a slave.
I don't need somebody who says, when I have spare time, I'll come and do it. No, they'll come and do it because God called them to do it. When He called them to do it, that's when you come. When God calls you, you move. I'm going to start preaching if you ain't careful. Suffering. How many times have you heard a good sermon on suffering? Not nearly enough. We're way too fat and comfortable for that. Right? Faith. Oh, man. Here, let me show you this. This is so cool. You might have one of these. It's called the Knaves Topical Bible. Dude, have you ever gotten one of these? Have you ever opened it up and read it? In about faith, there are 10 pages in teensy, tiny fine print about faith. 10 pages. Look at how fine that print is. 10 of these pages about faith. Prayer. I didn't even think to number them, but there are hundreds. I mean, it's like this thick about prayer in the Bible, about studying the Word of God. There's so many scriptures. And the cool thing about this is all King James. Don't get me wrong. You might not have the King James. I don't know. You know, if God can talk to a donkey, He can talk to you through anything. But if you got the King James, you got something solid. It doesn't change. Amen. I like the King James Bible. Folks say, well, I don't understand all the wilt thou and dust. Well, if you read it after a while, right, Josh? You read it for a little bit, it comes to you. It's not that hard to understand, right? Y'all know how to add, right? One and one is what? Right, amen. Praise God. There's 1 and 1 are 11. 1 plus 1 is 2, but 1 and 1, that's 11, right? Anyhow, you study. We got to talk about serving. We got to talk about suffering. We got to talk about faith. And I said all of this today as an opening statement to the rest of the sermon for the rest of your life. You know, I don't have a lot of sermons, dude. I ain't got a pocket full of messages. You know, I got the Bible. You know, and in the Bible, I got everything I need. You know, anyhow, folks, I love you. If you can't tell, I could go on. It's 12:15. I could keep you here to 6 o'clock at night if you would hang out. There's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot of stuff here. And like I said, I was just skimming. I didn't even read these. I mean, if you read, you ever read Psalm 119? You ever open your Bible and, I mean, just read it. Selah. Amen. Meditate on this. Think about this. There's good stuff there. Anyhow, you know me, Cliff. I could talk on. Tell me shut up. Yeah, ring. Okay. You can ring my bell. Anyhow, this is for my wife. Y'all hear it? Okay. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord God, for your goodness and grace. Father, I pray that we would start really reconnecting to these pillars, Lord Jesus, the pillar of prayer, the pillar of study, the pillar of witnessing, Lord. I pray that you would help us to hold on to that pillar of love, Lord Jesus, that you would move in us in a real personal way, that we would get to know you the way that you know us. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the folks that were here, Lord Jesus, that heard your word. I pray that we would adjust our lives to what it says, Lord God, and that we would desire you. I want us to desire you, Father, that we could know the depth of the compassion you have for others. Lord, we ask those things. We ask a blessing in it and on it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.